It's really hard to fathom that it started when I left the airport. You know, I live in Boston, driving to the airport, and I went, I'm going to the U.S. Women's Senior Open. I got on the plane. I'm going to the U.S. Women's Senior Open. And it's almost like I was very cognizant of every step along the way, from the car coming here to checking in the hotel. And it's just the significance of this occasion is just, you know, there are no words to describe it. So I came out yesterday afternoon. I wasn't planning. I ran into Pat Bradley, and she said, I'm going to go register. I said, well, you know, I got time to do that. So I came out, and I just kind of walked around. And several people, you know, the players said, you know, we wouldn't be here if it were not for you. And I went, wow. So, you know, you just start thinking of, you know, the years, the process of getting here. And it was a walk down memory lane at, you know, and it's finest. So it's just, it's incredible. And I'm not, you know, I'm glad I'm wearing sleeves because the goosebumps don't show.
Well, they're right. This wouldn't have happened had you not, you know, kicked people in the rear and said, let's start a fucking store, and away we go.
Yeah, and we had a little communication over the last 21 years with USGA.
When was your first time on?
It was like 21 years ago, and I'm trying to think, Reed McKenzie, Judy Bell, Fred Ridley, the Women's Committee, and David Fay. You know, there were a number that we had reached out to, and obviously we didn't get positive results. But, you know, oh yeah, you planted the seed, then we had some good media support, you know, for the effort. And, you know, we put together the whole a document that, you know, justifying why we should have one. The galleries we've had at some of our events, the number of past U.S. Open winners, and just equality. You know, the fact the men have had theirs and the fact there was an odd number in USGA events, which was wrong. So now it's right.
Yeah, I know Judy Bell told us once when I asked her, I said, what would you like to do when she became president, the first woman president of the USGA? And she said, well, I want to leave my mark on trying to help with pace of play. And and you know what? Now hearing your discussion, I almost wish she would have said, my goal is before I leave office is to get our U.S. Senior Women's Open launched.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get any support from her. Yeah, which was surprising. But I think that, you know, she had her board, you know, at that time was probably all male. So, you know, but it takes mavericks and it takes people that can have a vision and willing to take risk to, you know, to have change, affect change, like, you know, like Billie Jean.
What did it mean to have a senior woman's major last year when you had the one out at French Lick?
Oh, that means tremendous. And to have, I think that was, obviously that was announced after the fact we were going to have a U.S. Women's, you know, Senior Open. But, you know, we have two major championships on, you know, and that golf course is incredible, you know, and that a first-class venue, all the players are treated first class, because this tournament will obviously move around. We know we're going to be at Pine Needles next year. I'm sure they'll announce it shortly, where it goes in 2020. But yeah, I think we're on the map now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that you know, next year, obviously, because of Peggy Kirk-Bell, there was a great U.S. Women's Open history there at that site. Do you think 2020 could be at another course that has had U.S. Women's Open history there in the past?
That would make sense. I think where there's some type of a understanding, some type of built-in fan base, I think that would make an awful lot of sense. I mean, the first two venues are pretty darn good. You know, I think knowing that we were coming to Chicago Golf Club, I immediately looked up the history, and that was a big wow factor. So I think that that makes a statement. You know, you have this the beautiful trophy, you have the tournament, and you have it, the first one at Chicago Golf. And every time I see inaugural, took a picture of my car with a decal on it, you know, the inaugural. It's, yeah, it's pretty cool.
And if you think about it, this is probably the last first USGA championship. There's nothing left on the dance card, I don't think. to fill in.
No, I mean, unless, and because they are traditional, they're not going to come up with some, you know, goofy format.
Right.
So, yeah, this may be the last, the last of the first.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, being part of it and seeing everyone's faces. You know, I was talking to some of the USGA officials, and I said, this must be so different for you because everyone here is so grateful. You don't have high maintenance men and women that have a lot of expectations. You know, players are very happy, just, you know, thrilled to be here.
What do you think when you hear people say that you sort of saved seeing
golf? I mean, I have to pause and I just have to think about it. Then I turn around and, you know, kind of ponder in a quiet moment. I go, yeah, I think you, you did some good. You made a difference. So it's a wonderful sense of satisfaction. So now what I have to do, because I'm a competitor first, I have to say, okay, I want to relish the moment, but I also want to compete well. But I'm not going to let wanting to compete well get in the way of this culmination of a journey.
You know, we saw you at the PGA Merchandise Show, and you told us, you said, well, it looks like I'm going to have to play my way in. I'm going to have to practice.
That's
I'm going
right.
to have to go through qualifying. And then we got home about a month later, and the release came out.
That's
and
right.
You've been given an exemption. Was that like the weight of the world off your shoulders?
Oh, I mean, it was, you know, I was prepared to qualify, and it was where I the only place I could qualify because of my schedule was at a course in the Boston area, which was never kind to me. So I'm going, oh no, that's, and to top it off, I've got to play that golf course where I played tin cup roll one time. So when I got the letter, you know, first the phone call, actually Shannon called me. I was in my car and I had just tears in my eyes and I couldn't talk. I don't know if I extended my gratitude properly, but I was absolutely speechless, and it was just, you know, it was just made me feel so good. Not just the weight of the world, but it was, I felt such respect.
Yeah. A little tip of the cap from them.
Yeah,
well
yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So how was your game? And what happens Thursday
when
the bell rings and you've got to play?
Well, I said, I hit a lot of balls this morning, and I'm playing this afternoon, and I said my goal today was to kind of work out all the kinks and to narrow it down from 50 thoughts to 2. and then so I can enjoy Tuesday and Wednesday, and just so I'll go out and play the course, kind of see what I have to work on. You know, my game is, it's okay. You're not going to, I practiced a lot last week, but you're not going to, you know, find your golf swing in 1 week. So I'm paying a little bit of the price for working for the past, 10, 12 years.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people, some of the other gals have said, well, Julie Inkster is going to be the one to beat. She's still out there with those young kids once in a while, too. But yet, we saw Trish Johnson, French Lick, and the Pete Dye course is not an easy golf course. But those two names seem to jump out at us as two people that are there could be in the thick of things on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, and I think so. And Trish won in our Legends Tournament in Seattle just recently. And, but, you know, look at Lieselotte Neumann, too. You know, she's won some of our tournaments, and she's won an Open. She's a good player. Michelle Redmond hits the ball a long way, but I think, not having played the course, but I get the sense this is more of a placement course and putting. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, Julie does have the advantage because she's tournament tested.
Yeah.
And Laura Davies, you know, Laura had that great tournament in Phoenix this year. So it's going to be interesting.
It's really a thinker's golf course.
Yep, which that makes me happy because that was my strength. So we'll see if it remains my strength.
Regardless of what tee time you actually have on Thursday, do you think you and a lot of the other players will come out to see Joanne Carmen hit that first ball at 7 a.m.?
Yeah, in fact, I'm lucky because my time is 7:30. So I will plan my morning accordingly. Yeah, because that will be, you know, goosebumps will be flying high. That when it's how appropriate to have Joanne, you know, who's won so many things and, you know, so many USGA events, but has just been the icon to me of all women's golf. She just embodies everything that's good about the game of golf.
In 1998, the Women's Open was played at Kohler, and with Sayri Park winning, they say that's influenced an entire generation of the Korean gals that have come over.
Yep.
Here we sit 20 years later, and I think a lot of the players who played at Kohler will be here and have a chance to inspire a whole, maybe another generation of people to, and women and girls to get involved in the game, and maybe gals to give them a reason to keep the clubs out a little longer than they used to. Do you feel like that? This is sort of 20 years later, there's another U.S. Women's Open that can make an impact on golf going forward.
Well, I think so, and I like your latter point because, you know, with the emphasis today on health and healthy, active lifestyles and, you know, aging gracefully and where age, you know, the old, you know, 50 is the new 30 and, you know, whatever those sayings are. But I think that our group, you know, playing 4 days and walking without even giving it a second thought, it makes a major statement. So I think that, you know, the fastest growing segment in golf is women's golf. And we know that from our PGA golf clinics for women that we do all over the country. And I think that this tournament is going to make such a statement to women, to those who are on the LPGA now who are 35 and 40, you know, thinking, you know, I've made enough money. But it's not about the money. It's about, you know, your life and your passion. So I think we will get women to continue playing the game and women taking up the game at an older age, saying, hey, if they can do it, I can do it.
I know that a lot of the players will say, geez, we wish the USGA would have done this sooner. But they feel like they're taking it seriously now. The club they selected, even the courtesy cars, the hospitality, everything that's being done for all the players. Do you sense that they really want to launch this thing the right way and then, you know, send it off down the road?
Yes, and I think that's, you know, when they announced it, we thought it might be in 2017, but they said they wanted to do it the right way, 18, and it's first class in all respects. And so this tournament will be here forever. And so, you know, we're part of that legacy.
How good would it be to have your name on the trophy as the first?
You know, I wouldn't decline that opportunity. I have to make a few putts first.